If you have your Bible, which I hope you do, would you please turn to Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. We're going to talk about investing wisely this morning. Before we do that, I'd like to bring you up to date on some folks that we have on our prayer list, and also new ones that were given to me today. First of all, we received a thank you from folks, from somebody involved in Barb Tryon's funeral, and she thanked the church for all that they did for them, and so that was the church thing, and so I thought that it would be good to mention it to you. Back on June 8th, many of you will remember Will and Teresa Reed. They were a young couple. They had been in Africa, were here raising support to go back to South Sudan. Will was born and raised in Bloomington. We received word that they have received all their support, and they are actually leaving this week for South Sudan. Now, you know that there's a lot of unrest over there, so I'm sure that they would deeply appreciate your prayers for their safety, for their travel, as well as for their safety while they're there. So be praying for Will and Teresa Reed. Carol Watson, who is the principal at Gosport Elementary School, is our educator of the week, and so we've sent her a note to let her know that we will be praying for her this morning, and so we ask that you remember her all week long. I had some folks come up to me after the service and before this service and asked to pray for them. Ray Montague goes to, at least Tuesday morning, he's taking a group of, I think, 30-some seniors to Key West. And he's going to be gone for like 10 days. And so he's asked to pray for his safety. Not sanity, safety. he would appreciate your prayers for him as he drives. And we had a few that came up, a couple that came up before. Carl Ray, whom some of you know, it is Gina Truesdale's grandfather, her grandfather, passed away just this weekend. Is that correct? This morning. He's 90-some years old, they said, and he had a heart attack a couple days ago. So be praying for the whole family. And then Cody, did I get that right? Cody Buck is a friend of Mark and Holly's, and he was in a real bad car accident this morning? And don't know all the details on the physical, but it is bad. And so they've asked prayer for Cody and his family. Does he have a family? A mom, dad, and brothers? So be praying for Cody and his family as well. And if you have a prayer request, please write it down on the name and address thing there, the clipboard, and we will put it in the bulletin for next Sunday. Would appreciate it if you would do that, and we'll make sure that we pray for that person. What you do not know, many of you do not know, is that every first and third Wednesdays, Maddie Arnett and Francis McMoran and I get together and pray. You are welcome to join us. Through the summer, we've been doing it through email. But once the school starts, we'll be meeting on Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And if you'd like to join us, we'd love to have you join us. And we pray for the folks on our prayer list and others that are brought to us. And if you'd like to join us, these two ladies have been faithful for about 2 to 3 years. It's just been us three. And they are phenomenal ladies. I remember reading once that Billy Graham attributed his success to two, I say this carefully, old ladies. I'm not saying that. In his case, they were really seniors, but two older ladies who prayed for him every day. And I thank God for those two ladies who, for the last 2 or 3 years, have been so faithful of getting together with me and praying. And so you're welcome to join us Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock on first and third Wednesday of every month. And we're going to start that back up now that school's back in. All right, let's read Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And then I will pray. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. And his master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I think she's agreeing with me. And he also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful or lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, and that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray together as we start. And Father, we bring these folks before you, even before we go any further, that we have mentioned this morning. We pray for Will and Teresa. We ask for safe travel for them to South Sudan, and we pray that while they are there, you will put your hedge of protection around them and that the ministry that they perform will be fruitful. We pray for Carol Watson this morning as she leads the teachers and the students at Gosport Elementary. We ask that you might give her wisdom and guidance as she does that. We pray for Ray as he travels. We pray for the family of Mr. Ray, and we also pray for Cody's family. We ask that you will comfort where comfort is needed, that you will give strength where strength is needed, and that you will just do your work and intervene in lives. And I pray for those who I know have concerns on their heart this morning. I pray that their load will be lifted a little bit because they've been in your presence today. And I thank you for your word. The Bible is clear that your word has power, and that it is said that when your word is used, it will never return void. And so whether we have read it or whether we have preached it, even sung it, as we have done that, we pray that it will not return void, that our hearts will be like a soft earth where the seed has been planted, and that there will be some fruit. For those who have come today with a heavy heart, I pray that they will lead with their load lifted a little bit more. For those who came with joy, may their joy be deeper and brighter. And I ask that as we study your word, that you'll help us to see the importance of being a servant and help us to understand this parable. And I pray that as we study, we'll listen to you and to your word and to what you have to say, and that we'll be able to grasp it. And then I ask that as the message is brought, you'll help me to step aside and that we'll see Jesus and Jesus only. In his name I pray. Amen. On the board and on your bulletin, you're going to see a quote. It's from a poem called Maud Miller by John Greenleaf Whittier, and he made this statement. For all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. When I read those words again, it dawned on me that I, like many of you, have probably looked in the past and thought, I could have had a V8. No, you thought, if only I had done something different. If only I had said something different. See, each one of us have to live our lives so that when we are done, we have no regrets. That we have lived a life of fullness and completeness and a life that has been given over to God. And that when I breathe my last breath, when you breathe your last breath, we have no regrets. We don't have to say, it might have been. Now, the scripture's filled with passages of telling us that we have to be accountable for what we have been given. For example, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 6, we find these words. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And in the morning, sow your seed. At evening, withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether it be both alike or good, or both will be good. You see, we are told to cast our bread on the water, and then it will come back. You read the book of Proverbs, and over and over and over, it talks about the importance of accountability, of living a life that is real, and living a life that is genuine, that what we sow, we will reap. We also read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, that we are to redeem our time wisely. And so when I breathe my last breath, when you breathe your last breath, every one of us are going to have, or we hope that we can look back and say, I have lived my life completely. I have lived my life fully, and I have no regrets. I have given my heart to Jesus, and I have been sold out to Him, and I have no regret on the way I have lived. This parable that we talked about, or we will be talking about in Matthew 25, is just about that. It's about accountability. It's about bringing what God has given to you, using it faithfully, and then at the end, you have no regrets. So let's take a look at this parable. You'll need your Bibles from this point on. We're going to be in this parable and in a couple other passages. Let's talk about the responsibility that we have been given. Now, as you go into this parable, Matthew 25, I like to do this. I think it's important that we look at the context surrounding this. Now, the important thing to understand or to see is what goes before it. In this case, it's a parable of the 10 virgins. And if you know the story, the bridegroom came, 5 virgins were ready, 5 were not. 5 had enough oil, and 5 did not. So the basic principle of that parable is simple. When Jesus returns, there will be some who will be ready and some who will not. That's a pretty forthright story. But that also raises 2 questions. The first question is, will I be ready when He comes? The second question is, why am I serving Him now? Those are the 2 questions that are raised. When He comes, will I be ready? And number 2, why am I serving Him? The next 2 parables, the one we're going to talk about now and the sheep and the goats, are answering those 2 questions. Because you see, every one of us are faced with this, will I be ready? And yes, there will be those who will be ready, and yes, there are those who will not be ready. But then we have to answer the question, if I'm ready, what now? And so we have the parable of the talents, and we have the parable of the sheep and the goats. All 3 of them deal with judgment. All 3 of them tell us that there will come to a point where all of us will be judged. Now, to put it in context, Jesus is about to go to the cross, and there will be a day where He is coming to return as the judge. And the question is this, will we be ready? All right, let's go to the parable. He begins in verse 14. for it will be like a son of man, or like a man going on a journey. Let's stop here for a minute, because I read a word that you probably would just pass over if you're reading. It's the word it. What does the word it mean? It's referring to the kingdom of God. You see, these parables are not about the pagans. They're not about the atheist. They're not about the agnostic. They're not about the person who's outside of Christ. These parables, the parable of the virgin, the parable of the talents, the parable of the sheep and the goats, are about those who call themselves followers of Jesus. Now, we may not like to hear that because of what happens in these parables, but every one of them is about those who follow Jesus. Now, Jesus talks about this elsewhere in Matthew chapter 7. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, some of you are going to say at the end, Lord, Lord, did we not do this and did we not do that? And Jesus said, he's going to say to you, I never knew you. You see, there will come a point in time that you and I, as followers of Jesus, will be held accountable for what we have done with what we have been given. So let's look at this parable. There are two significant events that actually come out of this. He begins by saying, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Two things. First of all, they are his slaves. They are his servants. We would call them stewards. We would call them the power of attorneys. Because when a master went away, he handed to them control of his property. And that's the second part, and that is that he is entrusting all his possessions to his slaves. Now, it's easy to look at this passage and say, oh, he's talking about money. Well, I don't have a whole lot, so he must not be talking about me. No, don't look at it that way. Understand this. Stewardship is more than money. Stewardship involves our time, our talent, and our treasure. And so when he's talking about giving us our talents, here he's specifically using the idea of money with this story. But we have to take it beyond that and realize that God not only is asking us to be faithful with the financial things that he has given to us, but also he is asking us to be faithful with our time and our talents. So what happens? Well, it's easy to see. He gives one man five. He gives another man two. And then he gives another man one. Now we're going to get to this one guy over here in a minute. But he hands him five. And please keep this in mind. The five and the two and the one, they are not specific numbers in the sense of he's going to give someone five talents, another one two. But here's the key. If you look at verse 15, he gives to each one of us according to his ability. These numbers are illustrative. And here's what it's trying to say. You will be given your gift, whatever it may be, according to your ability. It is easy to say, I can't get up there like Bill. I can't do what Ryan does. I can't play an instrument. Or sing. I can't do what Ryan does back here with all the computers. So, therefore, I can't do anything. Wrong. He gives each one of us according to our abilities. And when he hands us this gift, this talent, whatever it may be, all he says is, use it to the best of your ability. If you can't speak before people, don't worry about it. Find a way to serve. You can't sing? Hello. Find another way to do it. Find a way to serve. You say, but I can't do all this. We need help in children's worship, in children's part. You love kids? They need your help back there. You see, so you find what God has given to you, what you feel good about, what you feel comfortable about, and you do with what God has given to you, each according to your ability. Now here's what happens. The owner comes back. And it says the one who had five traded for five more. The one who had two traded for two more. The one who had one buried his. Well, the word traded there means traded off and on, over and over. So there was a constant, he didn't go out, go five and say, okay, I'm done, hallelujah. But he was constantly trading, trying to do better, so to speak. And so the one with five comes into the owner and says, here's five, I made five more. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful a little, faithful, and you're going to have much. The man who has two comes in and says, you gave me two, I gave two more, or I got two more. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then there's the one comes in, and he uses the excuse. He says, I knew you were a hard man. Now, let's take this a little bit further, because what he's referring to here, or what Jesus is trying to show, is God is this master. He is the owner. So when we take our talent that God has given to us, and we bury it in the ground, we have literally said to God, you're mean. Isn't that what he called the owner? He said, I knew you were a harsh man, that you planted and you planted where you sowed where you didn't plant. And so he's literally saying he was mean. And when we take what God has given to us and we do not use it, we are literally saying, God, you're mean. And so God, of course, says, yeah, that doesn't work. It doesn't fly. He takes that and he gives it to the one who has more. You see, every one of us, and here's the principle of the parable, every one of us are called to accountability. Every one of us are called to accountability. And you can see that. It's a common accountability. Each according to his ability. If you can't do something, find something to do. God has given you a gift. Don't say, God hasn't given me anything. But he has. Use it. And allow God to change you and change the people whom you're involved with. But use your ability to the best. Okay, so let's take the response. So the owner comes back, and as we've already talked about, he's talked about trading, he's talked about resources. And it's basically this one man who took the gift and buried it in the ground said, you know, I don't care about all the resources of my owner, I'm gonna stick it down in the ground. That was a common thing actually back then. Was they had banks, I guess. They didn't have safety deposit boxes, they didn't have safe. So they buried their treasure in the ground. They would take their jewels and bury them in the ground. They would take their money and bury it in the ground. And then, like me, I hope they don't get Alzheimer's and forget where it is, you know. But they would bury it in the ground. But they had other stuff to work with. This man took the one that he had gotten, stuck it in the ground, and said, I'm not doing anything with it. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. It's just a couple chapters back. Because you see, what we're going to be talking about, what we're talking about, is accountability. Every one of us have been given something. And we are held accountable for what we have been given and what we have been blessed with. Matthew chapter 20. Let's start reading with verse 25. Jesus called them to him and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your, what? Servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is talking about service here. He's talking about doing, what he's talking about is much more than moralizing. He's talking about more than just, you know, be nice to people. What Jesus is talking about is literally laying your life down, giving yourself away to other people. You see, being a servant is more than doing something because you feel guilty to do it. Doing something is more than, I'm doing this so I can be seen. Serving is more than just because someone suggested to it. And the popular thing today is serving is more than just because it's a cause. We serve. And please, if you forget everything else, don't forget this. We serve because Jesus served us. Isn't that what he says here? I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. So we serve because Jesus served us. It's not a drudgery. It's not something I'm doing so that I can win God's favor. Because trust me, we can never do that. We can never have enough payback. But I am doing this because Jesus served. Now let me just kind of have a fireside chat with you. There are no notes for this. Just kind of sit down. You're gonna hear from Steve in a moment. But we are in the process of, the building team is in the process of an expansion, of looking at an expansion, and we're going to be presenting that to you. Steve's going to talk to you about it, and then we're going to give you some more information in October. But here's the thing. The leadership is behind this, but the leadership does not want a humongous debt. You know, we often talk about how our country is leaving a debt for our great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren. We don't want to do that with the church. I don't have children here. I don't have a grandchild here. But some of you do. We don't want to leave this humongous debt so that your children and grandchildren and your great-grandchildren are paying for it. If I may be so crude, that's stupid. So what we are proposing, we'll be talking to you about. But here's the thing. The reason we don't want to do that, and because when you strap yourself so much, there's something that gets hurt, and that's called ministry. If we are so interested in building a bigger barn that we can't help somebody else, there's something wrong with us. We've got the foot on the wrong shoe. We've got the saddle turned around backwards. We've got the cart before the horse. However you want to put it. And that's why we are committed to not having a humongous debt. Now, Steve's going to talk to you a little bit about that today, and then on October 26th, the whole presentation. But you see, when you get too much and you can't help people, we've missed out. If we can't serve because we have built this bigger barn, so to speak, then we missed the boat. Every day, almost, one of the three of us gets a phone call for help. We've tried to help. We get them more, it seemed to be getting them more and more earlier in the month. You know, it used to come at the end of the month when things were due. Now they're coming in the beginning of the month, and middle of the month, and third of the month. And we've had to turn people away. Now, there's a reason we've had to do that. It's because some people will go from church to church to church to church to church to see how much money they can get. And so we've come up with a new policy, and that is if you know somebody who has a need, you tell us about it. Let them contact us, but use your name so that we know that it's legitimate, and we'll do everything we can to help. But you see, we can't help if every bit of our money goes to paying a mortgage. See the point? And we lose sight of ministry. Let me put it this way. We lose sight of serving. You can't serve people if you're so worried about where your next dollar is going to come to pay for a building. Now, let's go back and let's finish up. Jesus is talking about ministry coming from the heart. We do it because He does it. It's not payback. It's not works. It's not because we want to tilt the bank. It's not because we want to say, if I do this, Jesus will love me more. Not all. Absolutely. Yeah, we need interpretation of that one, Katie. Well said, Dick. Well, I've lost all that, so. I want to close with a story of service. And it's a really moving story. And there's so many intricacies in it that I can't tell you the story as it should be. So I'm going to actually read it as I found it. When the World Trade Center crumbled to the ground on September 11th, 2001, more than 3,000 people died. But a few of those who were buried beneath the rubble miraculously survived the toppling of the towers. Two of these individuals were Will Himeno and John McLaughlin, a pair of Port Authority employees who responded to the attacks and were on the bottom floor when the South Tower began to fall. They raced to an elevator shaft and amazingly survived the 100-story collapse around them. But they were buried dozens of feet down in the midst of an array of rubble. Trapped without water, breathing smoke-filled air, both Will and John had little hope of survival. Yet as they lay there, pinned underneath a mountain of debris, something was stirring inside an accountant in Connecticut they had never met. David Carnes, who had spent 23 years active duty in the Marine Corps, was watching the scene play out on television just like the rest of us. But more than allowing it to merely trouble him, he decided to do something about it. He went to his boss and told him he wouldn't be back for a while. Dave went to a barbershop, asked for a high and tight haircut, then stopped by his home to put on his military fatigues, hoping the uniform would allow him access past the guards and the blocked-off areas into Ground Zero. He drove to Manhattan at speeds of 120 miles an hour and arrived by late afternoon. And while rescue workers were being called off the wreckage pile because of danger, Dave was able to stay because of the clout and the credential that came with his military uniform. Finding another Marine nearby, the two men walked the pile together, seeking to save lives. You need to remember that, seeking to save lives. After an hour of searching, they heard the faint sound of tapping pipes and yelling. Will and John had been trapped for 9 hours by this time, completely incapable of working themselves free. Yet in the midst of all the rubble, a Marine who earlier in the morning had been working a spreadsheet in Connecticut found them. Of the 20 people pulled from the wreckage of the World Trade Center, Will Himeno and John McLaughlin were numbers 18 and 19. And all because Dave Carnes took off his suit, put on rescue fatigues, and stepped into the despair and the darkness of Ground Zero. You and I, every day, step into the despair and darkness of this earth. You and I know people who don't know Jesus. It's a dark world. And it's like Ground Zero. The question that we have to ask is, how will they ever hear if we don't tell them? And it comes down to me and you being faithful to the gift that we have been given as we are accountable. He and his other Marine buddy, whom he had just met, went out to seek and to save the lost. Every day, you and I go to work, we go to school, we go to our neighborhoods, we go to the Y, we go to different places, and there are lost people who are need to be sought and to be saved. We can't do it, but we take with us the one who can. You and I have been given a gift of a day. Whatever that day is, we're to be responsible and accountable for that, so that at the end of our lives, we have no regrets. The question is, will we be faithful to what we've been given? Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us to realize you have given us a talent. And when we talk about talents, it's easy to talk about singing or playing or speaking. But there are so many different gifts given to people. The gift of service, the gift of a hug, a gift of a card, being able to feel, to empathize, to sympathize with people. There's so many different ways that you have blessed us and you've given us these hearts for people. And I pray that you will help us to use what we have been given and to be accountable for it. Father, help us not to bury what you have given to us, whether it's our time, our talent, or our treasure. Help us not to bury it in the ground, but to remember that we serve because Jesus served, that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that should be our own attitude, same attitude, is that we are not here to be served, but to serve. And if need be, to give our life away. I pray that you'll help each one of us to look in our own hearts and ask ourselves if we have been accountable to you, if we have been faithful to what you have been given to, what you have given to us. And if not, Father, may today be the day where we say, enough is enough. It starts now. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us so much. Help us to be faithful with what you've given us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a decision to make, I invite you to come. For a moment, would you please? The building team has been meeting, and on the 26th of October, we'll introduce the building team to you. And they have come up with a plan. And Steve's going to tell you a little bit more, but we want you to see some of the pictures that we have come up with. This is adding on to what we currently have. It'll go out this way and over to that way. That's the part on the right is where we are right now. Okay, next one. That's the front of face 43. That's from looking from back. You can see that the new part will be higher than this one. And we'll take all three of the roofs, and you won't see any of the other two roofs behind us. That'll be the one. And then this is the final projected picture of what we're hoping to look at. Steve's going to talk to you for a minute and talk to you about that and about the 26th.
So this morning was the first time I'd actually seen the outside artist rendition there, and it just almost gives you goosebumps. It's beautiful. As Bill mentioned, and I wanted to say, as I represent the leadership this morning, that we are behind this. We are 100% behind this. We feel like the time is right for this to happen. And we've got a mixture of people here with us this morning. Some have been with us the entire 10 years, and some of you, it's different paths along the way. And if you want to know about just making a bigger building, and Bill was talking about serving, and as people have joined and worship with us, as we get larger, we feel like we're going to continue to get larger, and we want to be ready for that. So it's not just we want it to look impressive as you drive by, or we have something bigger, but we feel like we need something bigger. We're going to continue to grow, and we want to do it in a responsible manner. The financial end of it, the plan for that will be revealed on October 26th, so that's our 10-year anniversary. And again, if you think about all the things that we've gone through as a congregation, where we've met, and going through flooding and meeting in different buildings, and then we renovated this building, and just everything we've been through, I feel like God has been with us. It's been His timing. We don't feel like we've rushed into things, and we don't feel like we're doing that here. The timing of this is going to be dependent on how much the congregation is behind it, because we're not going to go into debt on this. So there is going to be a special offering on the 26th of October. We talked about this a couple months ago, and we just ask that you be in prayer. How is your heart moved? What do you feel you should do as far as that goes? That's going to be the point of the offering on the 26th. So we hope that the Lord is moving you in that manner. And then also, to kind of illustrate the predicament we're in, we're going to have one service on the 26th at 10 o'clock, so the timing's a little different. 10 o'clock, we're going to try to squeeze everyone in here. And I think it'll be very evident the situation we're in. Now, it's not a slap in the face. It's not anything to be ashamed of that we have two services, but the fact that we think we're going to continue to grow, I think, is the crux of the matter here. And not to, you know, we are going to show that we are going to be very crowded that day. But, you know, that also, I think, will, everybody will be together that day. And I think that's going to be the cool thing about it, instead of, you know, two separate groups. So we ask that you be in prayer about this. It's a huge undertaking for the congregation, for the leadership. And we just ask you to be in prayer about that and be supportive as much as you can. Thank you.
Also on that day, following the morning worship, we'll do this right at the end of the worship. We're going to have a pitch-in picnic. We'll meet in here for those who don't want to go outside. The others, you know, might want to walk over to the picnic shelter. But we'll have everything, and all the food will be in here, and then you can go wherever you want. But that's a pitch-in, and you know, we'd love to have you stay and take part in that. That's one of the reasons we're doing one service. I haven't talked to too many folks who like the two services, but you do what you got to do for as long as you need to do it. And so we're excited about the 26th of October. Can't wait to have everybody together. I know the ones in the first service say, I can't wait to see everybody. So just kind of keep that in mind, if you would. October 26th, 10 o'clock, one service with a pitch-in picnic following afterwards, okay? And the building team will be introduced to you that day as well. And everybody who's put so much work into this, and the inside is what you'll see. You'll see the inside on the 26th, okay? Well, let's stand. Let's have a closing prayer, and we have one last song, and hope you got your dancing shoes or clapping shoes on. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for these folks. Be with us this week. Help us to take the message of Christ as a servant to others so they can hear about Jesus too. And thank you for the plans. Thank you for the future that you have placed before us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.